Hej. Hi, yeah, I am a Baltimorean. While I was growing up here, 1940s and 1950s, I had lots of fantasies about what my adult life would be. And one of them was to be a writer, and as Laura said, I have been a writer. I was a writer from my mid-30s until my early 50s. Soap operas, etc. And then the phone stopped ringing. I think some of you remember when phones rang. And so I took some of the money that I'd made as a writer in Hollywood and opened up a small deli, a small restaurant, nothing grand. One of the first people that I hired was a young woman named Bonnie. And she had gone to high school with my older son, and my older son played in the orchestra for the musicals. Bonnie was the star of all the musicals. She was beautiful, talented, she could sing and dance, she had poise. She would be a star. There was no question that she would become a star. And she was great working at the place, at the deli, and the customers loved her. And pretty soon, when she and I closed the place at night, I would drive her home. She lived two blocks from where I lived. And I started telling her stories on the way home. I guess it had to do with the fact that I was no longer a storyteller by trade, so I had to tell my stories to somebody, and she was there. And what had happened, to go back a little bit, another fantasy, between my mid-20s and mid-30s, I'd been a drifter and a doper and a deckhand on lots of ships, ammo ships, etc. And those were dangerous times, and I told her stories about what I had experienced during that era. And she loved those stories. She would laugh and cry and gasp in all the right places. She was a perfect audience of one. And there was no romantic vibe. I thought of her as a daughter I'd never had. I had two sons. And she told me about herself. She told me about her parents' divorce, about her absent father, which kind of underlined the whole idea that I was a surrogate father and she was a daughter I never had. This went on for a couple of years. And after 2 years of the deli, I was diagnosed with cancer, with throat cancer, which is why I have to drink every once in a while. I received massive amount of throat radiation, and I had surgery. And during that time, Bonnie ran the place together with a young man named Rodolfo, who was a Guatemalan kind of dandy guy who used aftershave lotion that was a little too pungent for my taste, but the customers liked him. And what happened was that after I came back, after 2 months, I realized there was a lot of money missing. And there had been a lot more traffic than was reflected by the money in the till. And I felt bad about it, I fired Rodolfo. And he was very upset, obviously told me he hadn't done what I accused him of. But I stuck to my guns and fired him. And it was maybe a year after that, in 1995, that I closed the place. It wasn't making any money. And I went back to show business and to writing. Fast forward 10 years later, 2005, both of my sons are playing in a brass band on the 4th of July at a farmer's market in Santa Monica, actually. And I go there to see my sons play, and who should be there but Bonnie? And I hadn't seen her in 10 years. And she's there with a child in her arms and her husband. And we greet each other warmly, and she kind of pulls me aside away from the music. She wants to talk to me. And she doesn't look good. She's lost weight. She looks sallow. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, I've got cancer. And I said, wow. But you know, they can do things. Look at me. I'm still here after 10 years. And she said, no, you don't understand. She said, it's metastasized. It's gotten into all my organs. They've given me 2 months to live. I was shocked. 31 years old. I touched her elbow. It's a kind of useless gesture one makes when one doesn't know what to say. And she paused a moment, and then she said, and there's something else I have to tell you. I was the one stealing from you. Night after night, while you were going through treatment, I was taking money from the till. I don't know how much I took, hundreds, thousands. And I didn't say anything when you fired Rodolfo. I was shocked, of course. But more than shocked, I was really upset at myself. I all those times that I thought that she was had a connection with me, that she was listening to my stories and that she was enjoying them, all this time, what was she doing? She was kind of setting me up to steal from me. I couldn't understand what that whole situation was. And then she said, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And I did. I didn't care about the money. I cared about that connection, that intimacy that we had had during those years. And she put her arms out for me to hug her, and I did. I embraced her. And when I embraced her, I could feel the ravages of the cancer. I could feel her flesh and bones. I could feel her frailty, her human frailty. Well, six weeks later, I opened up the paper, the LA Times, and there was her obituary. She had died 6 weeks later. And in it, her husband had posted the following message. Beautiful Bonnie has died at age 31, leaving behind a daughter, and a husband, and she wants to leave everyone with this message. Please take the time to dance and to cry and to remember, to never forget that we are all connected. And I thought, connected even to me? And then I thought, you know, she must have known that my sons were playing in that band. She had kept in touch with my older son. She must have known that I would be there. Maybe she went there on purpose to see me, to get my forgiveness, to get my embrace and tell her that it was okay, that I forgave her. And then I realized it didn't make any difference whether she had gone there on purpose or not. The point was that she was a good and decent soul who had done something terrible and then tried to make amends and tried to get my forgiveness for it. And then I thought, what had I done in my life that I needed forgiveness for? For one thing, I'd fired Rodolfo for no reason. And I tried to find him, but I couldn't. So I asked his forgiveness in absentia. Rodolfo, please forgive me for having fired you for no good reason, for no reason at all, for bad reasons. And then I thought of those 10 years that I had been a doper and a drifter and a seaman, a deckhand. And I thought that that life of constant wandering during that 10-year period before I married, before I settled down, before I had children, that 10 years of drifting, I had constantly abandoned people with whom I was close, friends and lovers who would be there for weeks and months and then move on to the next place. And I apologized to them. I asked their forgiveness. And then I thought of my parents, my long-dead parents, who had suffered during those 10 years that I was a doper and a drifter and a deckhand. And I asked their forgiveness, not for having lived that life. That was a fantasy life that I lived, but for having never acknowledged their suffering and their pain while I was going through that life. And then I remembered all of a sudden Bonnie's obituary, where she said that we should take the time to dance and to sing and to never forget that we are all connected. And so I put on some Grateful Dead music and I danced. I danced like crazy. I played, arms flailing, legs flailing. And then I stopped dancing and I cried. I cried for a long time. My God, how I cried for that beautiful 31-year-old who had just died, leaving a small child. And then I said, maybe Bonnie and I and all of you and all of us are connected.